grace and peace to you as we continue to experience the love of God. Amen. I can't quite remember who said it, but it was something like, praying the Lord's Prayer is an act of bold trust in God. For it is to rely so fully on God that you may be everything to your neighbor that he or she needs. For those of us accustomed to saying the Lord's Prayer weekly or even daily in our private devotions, it can perhaps become automatic, spoken without thought to the words being said. One might even reflect upon the possibility that while praying, other mundane tasks like grocery lists and the need to mow the lawn are able to be considered at the same time. The words can become stripped of their power simply because we have heard them so many times. Words like hallowed and your kingdom, daily bread, and forgive. But it's rather obvious that Jesus chose these words intentionally. And since Jesus was so often also intentionally disruptive to the status quo, then he probably meant for us to bristle a bit at the hearing or speaking of this prayer suggested when his disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray." Indeed, it does take boldness to pray the Lord's Prayer, for in it we give up our cherished freedoms and autonomy. We ask God to give us what God knows that we need rather than what we think that we want. And we insist that God condition even his own forgiveness of us on our willingness to forgive others. We give up all rights to make the rules or to set the course. We put ourselves into the service of God and God's kingdom that we proclaim we trust God to establish. And again, because we know the scope of God's plan according to Jesus' teachings, we know that God's kingdom is one of radical hospitality, overflowing love and mercy, even for our enemies, and an openness to extending grace that does not stop when we believe that we have done our part and others should really pick up the ball. Praying the Lord's Prayer is certainly not for the faint of heart. It's not for those who think they have all the answers. And it's definitely not for any who would like to tell God how to do God's job. We're so accustomed to living in a world of those who have and those who have not. We determine our success in life and the value of other successes by how much money is made or how many things are owned. We worry not about having enough to survive or enough to have the same or more than our neighbors. But when Jesus is asked by his disciples to teach them to pray, this is exactly the concern that Jesus has them confront. When you pray to God, Jesus says, first, acknowledge God's supremacy, God's ownership of everything. And this is right and true in heaven, and so ask God to make it also so here on earth. Heaven. In this context, it's the place of God's dwelling, the place where God is present and all is good and perfect. For millennia, humans have longed to be in that place, away from the pain and the grief of this world, away from the tears and even death itself, even if it takes dying to reach it. But I imagine heaven is also a complicated place. The people we love are there, but perhaps some whom we would rather not put up with for an eternity also. The kid who pulled your hair in the third grade, or the neighbor who lets his dog bark late into the hours of the night. If we really dare to ask that God would make all things as they are in heaven, also here on earth, then God's going to make a change in either our neighbor's lives or in ours. I'll let you fill in the rest of that idea. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. How can we ask God to grant us the nourishment of not only bread, but also abundant water and clothing and shelter, a happy family, and the toys we enjoy, and the vacations, and the pizza delivered in less than a half an hour, if we don't also assume that those are also the very things that should be enjoyed by our neighbors? And can we really look God in the eye and ask for the same tomorrow when we have neglected to share what God has given us today? There's a persistence to this prayer that Jesus teaches. Jesus expects that we should be persistent with God, never ceasing to ask God for the bread we need today, despite our failings, despite our willingness to forgive our others as God has forgiven us. The image of a neighbor knocking on the door late at night asking for bread to share with his own house guest is really a good one, especially if you connect it, as I'm sure Jesus intended, to this idea that we pound on the door of God daily, begging for the generous outpouring of the goods that we need in the moment, but have been too distracted to set aside the same for just a time as this. How weary God must become by our daily asking. And yet how good and gracious is our God, who waits not for the second or the third knock at the door, but opens it for us, often before we even step up on the stoop. Persistence is the way that Jesus teaches us to pray, without hesitation or fear that we've asked too many times, boldly and with eager anticipation, even when we know that we have failed to open the door to the knocking of our own neighbors. It's a difficult prayer to utter, to be sure, this prayer that Jesus taught us, because we cannot quite believe that God would be so generous. Forgiveness of debts sounds good until we realize how deeply others are indebted to us. And we are asking God to hold us to that kind of forgiveness too. And so perhaps this last petition, to save us in the end from the time of trial, is a fitting cap to the whole prayer. You see, people added that later part that we say about the kingdom and the power and the glory. That was added later. But Jesus figures we can just simply end by saying, God, whatever happens, don't dig too deeply into the case that you can build against me. Don't put me on trial for my inability to muster a defense for all my sins is surely great. Jesus knows the difficulty inherent in this prayer that he teaches. Jesus knows, even as he suggests that we muster the persistence necessary to say the words, the unworthiness of our tenacity. And yet Jesus teaches it to us still. Such is the nature of God's love poured out in this one we call teacher, a love and grace that wasn't deserved when God came to earth in the guise of a babe in Bethlehem, a sacrifice not befitting the ones a crucified Jesus forgave when he said that they don't know what they're doing. And yet a grace that we lean on even today. A door open upon which we knock, seeking bread for ourselves and bread to share, because we trust in this God who will not give us a snake or a scorpion, but who has promised to give us peace and love. So give us this day, O God, all that you see that we need, and let us not forget the justice inherent in our persistent asking. For the ones who are seeking daily bread from God are also the ones knocking on our doors, our borders, our prison walls, our church buildings, and on our very hearts. Amen.